Live.
Uncensored.
Radio Free America. Another exciting, informative hour is warming up. Rick Adams is on fire.
Yes, I'm on fire, and I'm waiting right now for the fire to expand throughout the furnace. We have Dr. Jerry Corsi, who will be back with us tonight. Has been quite a while that he has not been on the program. He's been busy, as you know. And one of the things now that he's very busy doing is really revealing the record of John McCain. And it's very interesting, you know, coming from the fact that he did reveal quite a bit in the previous elections about George Bush's opponent there. I believe his name was John Kerry. Well, now it looks like we can perhaps find out a little bit more about the real McCain and the George Soros connection and all of that. So I think we've got him now on the line, do we?
Hi, Rick.
Dr. Corsi.
Hello there. How are you?
Fine. How are you?
I'm doing good.
Excellent. You're looking well.
Thank you.
Considering you've
right.
been very busy, haven't you?
Oh, I've been working hard, and these articles about John McCain have created quite a stir.
Yes.
And the one I wrote on Tuesday connecting McCain and Soros and the funding and making
mm-hmm.
sure everybody was aware of those connections,
mm-hmm.
I think was really upset a lot of people, because no one would think that George Soros would be funding John McCain. And I'm just pulling it up right here so I can look at it, read it while we talk.
Sure.
The article, it's actually been a story, Rick, that's been out there for a while. I mean, it's not something I totally did the original research
on myself.
I'm aware
of it. Sure.
But I think pulling it together sometimes when you do that, and the way you frame an article and the time when you bring it out makes a big impact. What the story is, so listeners can get into it, is that since 2001, John McCain's gotten funding from George Soros' Open Society Institute and also Theresa Hines Carey's Tides Foundation
mm-hmm.
through this Reform Institute. The Reform Institute is located and based in Alexandria, Virginia. It's a 501c3 nonprofit organization.
Mm-hmm.
And McCain, in 2001, was the chairman. And Soros funded it. The purpose was, at that point, the major issue on Soros' mind was campaign finance reform. Basically, Soros wanted to be able to control and shut out, you know, messages that would go through campaign dialogue.
Mm-hmm.
And also to structure and control the funding that could go into campaigns. I mean, most conservatives looked at what resulted, the Feingold, McCain,
yep.
As basically a restriction on free speech.
Absolutely.
But what this foundation did was it started to promote the theme of campaign reform, promote John McCain, support him with articles, money, appearances, all the things you do to promote an ID in Washington, D.C.
Mm-hmm.
And then the foundation also came around and employed John McCain's top campaign people from the 2000 presidential campaign, carrying them over into the 2008 campaign. So, for instance, Rick Davis, who is McCain's current campaign manager
mm-hmm.
and was the campaign manager in 2000, was paid $110,000 a year by the Reform Institute in 2003 to be a consultant. And then in 2004, Rick Davis advanced that position to be the Reform Institute president, and his salary went to $120,000. I got this information out of the Form 990s, which are the tax forms that the Reform Institute and all 501c3 organizations have to file with the IRS, so I know it to be authenticated and true.
Very true. Here comes the music. We'll be back. I want to pursue this, and a little bit later on, we'll take some calls on the program Uncensored Radio Free America here on the Republic Broadcasting Network.
Are you new to freeze-dried foods? These fine, easily storable foods were first developed for the U.S. space program. Today, the U.S. military and the U.S. submarine service enjoy using these products extensively. Freeze-dried foods typically maintain their high nutritional value in excess of 30 years. Why store emergency food? Keeping food on hand for emergencies protects you the same way as does insurance on your home or car. With Freeze-Dry Guy freeze-dried foods in your food reserve, you can be ready for just about any unexpected crisis. In today's turbulent times of uncertainty, global crisis, world market collapse, stock market volatility, increased frequency of natural and man-made disasters, there has never been a better time to get a survival insurance policy. Take the necessary steps to protect your family in these uncertain times. Visit freezedryguy.com or call 866-404-FOOD, 866-404-3663. We pay the freight within the lower 48 states.
In Matthew 24, the disciples asked Jesus, "What shall be the signs of thy coming and the end of the world?" Jesus answered them, "You shall hear of wars and rumors of wars, for nation shall rise against nation, and kingdom against kingdom, and there shall be famines, diseases, earthquakes in many places." People everywhere are trying to understand these climatic world events in light of human wisdom, but without the wisdom of God, this is impossible. Our ministry would like to offer information on the Mark of the Beast and the Unholy Alliance. It includes four books and several DVDs. It discusses America and Prophecy, the Antichrist, Tyrants and Wars, Secret Societies, the New World Order, and much more. So to be prepared for what is coming on the world as an overwhelming surprise, call for your free materials, Packet F, 888-211-1715. Again, 888-211-1715. Or mail P.O. Box 771, Athens, Tennessee, 37371.
Hey, everybody, this is James Martinez from the Cash Flow Show. I want to ask you one question and one question only. You're ready to change your life. Now, as you begin to think about that question, how many of you are swimming in credit card debt, tired of credit cards controlling your life, behind on your payments, struggling to make ends meet, all that, worried about your financial well-being? You're going to end that now. Enough is enough. This is hot. Are you ready to feel good now? That's right. Call our toll-free number and listen to our 12-minute overview. It explains who we are and what we do to end your credit card debt. Leave your name and number after the message and do it today. Call 888-213-7655. That's 888-213-7655. Freedom is a phone call away. Away. Away for you to feel good now. 888-213-7655. 888-213-7655.
Rick Adams is back.
Radio Avenger, the Paul Revere of talk radio.
And we're back now with Dr. Jerry Corsi. Dr. Corsi is, of course, on the campaign trail himself, so to speak. He's watching this McCain, who, of course, once again, John McCain, we're told, is the best bet for the Republican nomination at the convention. And yet, of course, there are a lot of things happening behind the scenes, the Huckabee delegates, the Ron Paul movement, the Ron Paul delegates. And yet this media-anointed, if you will, McCain, who has more baggage on him than a train, Jerry. You know,
right.
this fellow here has so much dirt on him going back a number of years, and yet the best they could do today on MSNBC website was to talk about flip-flop McCain rather than the issues that would weigh more heavily against his candidacy. If the American people really and truly knew exactly just how dangerous this man truly is, it's amazing. But
well,
the propaganda continue.
You're right. I mean, I think it's almost that the mainstream media wants McCain to be the candidate.
Oh, absolutely.
Because they think he'll be easily beaten. And the more research I do on McCain, and I've followed McCain for years, but I think, I guess you'd say, target-rich environment.
Mm-hmm.
When you think about the opposition research of the Democrats and what fun they're going to have attacking McCain, you know, I think McCain may be lucky to end up with as many states as Bob Dole had in 1996 running against Bill Clinton, which is not very many.
Do you think it's a done deal with Hillary Clinton, as many have said?
No, I think I really think that the nomination is going to go to Obama.
I think it'll go to him, huh?
Yeah, I think so. I think Hillary is right now at a disadvantage. She's got to gain an exceptional number of the remaining delegates. You know, when you take a look at Ohio, right now she's leading in Ohio, but there's still a number of days. I guess that's in the beginning of March, so there's, you know, at least 10 days before that primary is held. And I expect that you'll see a surge there by Obama at the end. And remember, these Democratic primaries are proportional, so that the electoral or the delegates are handed out in terms of who wins different districts or regions, however they're divided.
And also, we have to consider the superdelegate vote as well.
Superdelegates are, you know, kind of up for grabs. I've heard analyses and read analyses that mm-hmm. Hillary will get most or all of them.
Mm-hmm.
I'm just not convinced that's true. I think that those superdelegates will split, if not evenly, not so that Hillary gets them all.
Well, they say now the total delegates the Democrat nominee needs is around 2,000, right?
Right, a little over 2,000.
And I think it's 2,025.
And
the Republicans need around 1,191.
Right, exactly.
All right, now with Huckabee still in the race here, and Romney's delegates, really, we don't know what's going to happen there.
Romney's delegates will stay with Romney until the first ballot is taken.
Right, right.
And then he might be able to swing them or release them to
McCain. Yeah. But right now, we're still talking about McCain purportedly at 822
right.
delegates and Romney and Huckabee at 282, 243, respectively.
Huckabee's going to stay in until the end.
Oh, yeah.
He doesn't. It's not costing Huckabee that much to, you know, he's got a good media presence. He's got good coverage. He's probably mm-hmm. the most personable of the candidates.
Mm-hmm.
For a minimal amount of money, he can just stay till the end. I don't know why Romney didn't, except, you know, there's a lot of pressure from the parties put on these candidates to mm-hmm. drop out.
Mm-hmm. So let me ask you this, Jerry, as far as your own perspective is concerned, and I agree with some of it myself, but the question is going to be, as far as the so-called Republican conservatives who, as you know, I've been hearing this for a long time, maybe 30, 35 years, anybody but Carter, anybody but Jimmy Carter. So we get a Ronald Reagan, and he's a disappointment. And then we go anybody but Reagan, and we get Bush. And then it's anybody but Clinton, and we get Bush again. And on it goes. And basically, it's the same nonsense of the lesser of two evils is better than the greater of two evils. And,
of course,
that's not my philosophy,
no.
You understand.
And I don't think that argument's going to be very persuasive this year.
This time.
I don't think so. I mean, I think that...
I think McCain has alienated his key. As you say, it may very well be planned that way or orchestrated that way for him to fall. But do you honestly think Obama can do the kind of damage to him that Hillary can?
Well, I think either candidate can.
Either one.
There's
Who would be the most apt to do so?
Well, the meanest would be Hillary. But, you know, whether that would have the most impact or not, I don't know. Obama can be very successful against McCain, taking the high road and letting mm-hmm. the surrogates attack McCain
all right. On
all these different grounds.
And, yep.
You know, there's only going to be about a legion of surrogates that want to attack McCain. But the problem is, this time, McCain's a very bitter pill for the conservatives and the Republican Party to swallow.
Mm-hmm.
Because every time you turn around, the conservatives have been looking at fighting McCain. The campaign reform, the McCain-Feingold bill was very hotly contended and is deeply resented by conservatives.
Absolutely.
Then we get this illegal immigration issue and campaign, you'll get a comprehensive immigration reform.
And that is still current. That is a current issue and worsening, I might
and
add.
Worsening. And yes. Here you've got Ted Kennedy and, you know, McCain arm mm-hmm. in arm
right.
with this bill, you know, comprehensive immigration reform, which is really was called a shamnesty bill because it
had
it combined the elements of a guest worker program and a pathway to citizenship that most conservatives saw as just a way to legitimate the right of some 20 million illegal aliens to stay here. And so it was deeply resented. And now recently McCain has joined Lieberman in pressing, you know, Joe Lieberman, another Republican, in pressing this whole issue of global warming, and it's saying we should have a carbon tax and all these issues. And the vast majority of conservatives believe that global warming is largely a political hoax. I myself think it's a political hoax.
Well, it's globalism. Let's face it. It's internationalism, interventionism, globalism, one-worldism, and McCain fits that bill to a T.
Totally. 100%.
As well as the others, as a matter
of fact, all of them,
except Ron Paul.
Ron Paul is the only one who stands
And that
out.
Is why, you saw the Joe Miller piece in Newsweek the other day, and the lies, the same kind of lies, that you've been subjected to, Jerry.
Well, yes, I read the Miller piece in Newsweek, and it's again just another hack attack job. I mean,
it's terrible though. It's so transparent, isn't it?
Yes, it is. And I think by the time you read that, it's pathetic. I mean, I remember at least when I was a kid, I thought Newsweek stood for some investigative journalism. Now, Newsweek is barely worth
Come on, Jerry, you're not that old now.
Oh, sure.
It doesn't go back that many years to the 1920s.
Newsweek was around. 1920.
Maybe that's when they were a little honest. I don't know. I remember being in college debate society, the Forensic Society, and the professor said, these are the publications you don't use in citing evidence for your case, and one of them was Newsweek, and the other was Time, because they make up their stories.
Well, that's right.
And that was in the 70s,
Yeah. Well, I was a little before you. And before you, they were still accepting Newsweek and Time and requiring you to read them.
Right, right.
They were also requiring you to read the New York Times, and the Washington Post was held at high esteem.
Yeah, the Walter Duranty Award for the New York Times.
Right. Yeah. Well, now today I think if the Newsweek attack Ron Paul as this Miller piece did, I thought
vicious.
Was shameful.
Yes.
For Newsweek, and I thought it was a credit to Ron Paul that they did attack him.
Well, indeed. Indeed. Yeah. You should see the response was just enormous.
Just read the reader comments.
I did.
They attacked Ron Paul one time before. This is the second time they've attacked Ron Paul, including on the issues of North American Union and NAFTA Superhighway.
Yep.
And they must have gotten 500 or 600 or more reader responses, mostly furiously angry.
Well, he said the NAFTA Superhighway is a myth. It doesn't exist.
Oh, yes, of course. It's all
so is the SPP, which, of course, they've said the same about your excellent research.
And then what they say in Newsweek is, but of course, like all conspiracy theories, there's a kernel of truth,
and then
the rest of the article validates everything that Ron Paul is saying.
Mm-hmm.
And that's the remarkable part about
it. And then, they generally speaking, they would poo-poo the idea of a Council on Foreign Relations elite, and then the next page over is a column by someone from the Council on Foreign Relations. Do they really have such a low opinion of our intelligence? Do they really think we're that dumb?
They must, but then I think I would recommend they look at their subscription rates. You've got even the Los Angeles Times going to lay off another 500 or 600 people.
Yippee.
I'm not losing any tears there.
Yippee.
I mean, they could lay them all off, and I don't know that I'd miss it.
Amen.
A newspaper is pretty much valuable only if you've got a dog. That's the problem.
Mm-hmm.
And the American public, this next generation that's coming up, is not going to be reading newspapers at all. They're going to be going to the Internet. They're going to be, searching out the information themselves, and they're not going to be satisfied with being fed this political pablum. What we have here, and again, the other point that is through this is when you see that McCain is funded by Soros.
Yes.
And you see that, Soros, who MoveOn.org, he's supposed to be the nemesis of the left, and here he's been funding the guy who's going to emerge as the presumptive Republican nominee for 2008 presidential candidate.
Sure he'll give all the money back.
Oh, of course.
Yes. And, of course, he's turning over a new leaf as we speak. He was in Rhode Island here today.
He had a change of heart.
And Boston, and he got the Mitt Romney endorsement and the hugs and kisses and so forth.
Yeah.
So I suppose he is christened as the respectable candidate who now can recant and reform and flip-flop again on the issues. All right, we'll be back with you, Dr. Jerry Corsi. We'll take calls a little bit later. Stay on the line, Ernie. And our number is 800-313-9443. We're going to talk more about the Mexican connection to John McCain and Company. Rick Adams, the Paul Revere of Talk Radio. Be right back.
The ideology powering the Democrats and Republicans is not liberalism or conservatism, but globalism. Globalists are concerned with what's good for big business and the American empire instead of what's fair for the American people. The only antidote to the poison of globalism is nationalism. Start reading the Nationalist Times each month. The Nationalist Times promotes a common sense, intelligent, and passionate alternative to the reigning party line. Published monthly since 1985, the Nationalist Times is a 20-page newspaper featuring outstanding writers and columnists who don't believe in taboos or sacred cows. Be one of the many thousands of loyal readers of the Nationalist Times. Subscribe now to the Nationalist Times. Just $19 for 1 year. That's 50% off the regular price. Send your $19 subscription to the Nationalist Times, P.O. Box 426, Allison Park, PA 15101. That's the Nationalist Times, P.O. Box 426, Allison Park, PA 15101. Or subscribe online at our website, www.anu.org.
The Berkeelite's unique design combines the age-old process of microporous filtration coupled with modern state-of-the-art technology and the highest quality materials, bringing you the finest water filter available anywhere. The revolutionary Berkeelite, with its exclusive black Berkey filter elements, remove pathogenic bacteria, cysts, and parasites to non-detectable levels. Harmful or unwanted chemicals are reduced to below detectable levels. And it reduces nitrates and unhealthy minerals like lead and mercury while leaving the nutritional minerals your body needs. Made of durable Lexan, the material used in making bulletproof glass, the system is durable, rugged, and yet attractive. The Berkeelite is transparent, so there is no guesswork when refilling the system. The water level is always visible. The rechargeable LED lighting system is beautiful as a nightlight and as necessary in emergency situations. Get the Berkeelite, the transparent water filter, for only $259.
Call today, 877-605-9200. That's 877-605-9200.
Heart disease is on the rise. Clogged arteries, high blood pressure, and high cholesterol levels may not be fully detected by you, but the symptoms are there. Loss of energy, blood sugar spikes and drops, poor circulation, and irregular heartbeat are just a few of these that can alert you that something is wrong. Hear how Heart and Body Extract is making a difference in thousands of people's lives across America.
My blood pressure has normalized. My diabetes has totally improved.
Everyone is telling me now how much healthier I look, and I'm telling everyone how much healthier I feel. I recommend Heart and Body Extract to everyone.
Anybody over 40 in the North American continent should be using this product as a preventative to keep their cardiovascular system healthy.
Order your 2-month supply today by calling 866-295-5305. That's 866-295-5305. Or order online, hbextract.com. Heart and Body Extract, 866-295-5305 or hbextract.com.
Our enemies are innovative and resourceful, and so are we. They never stop thinking about new ways to harm our country and our people, and neither do we.
And we're back now with Jerry Corsi. And Jerry, you have been writing a lot about the, I guess maybe the implication is John McCain, president of Mexico, or the Mexican Union with America and Canada. But I notice this Juan Hernandez, of course, who was a dual citizen, I'm told, basically is one of the people that McCain hired right up front.
Well, he's supposedly a non-paid outreach director on McCain's staff. Mm-hmm. Oh, they always say non-paid.
That sounds nice. Outreach.
Sounds good. Mm-hmm. And what Juan Hernandez, let's really make everybody aware who he is. Most people have seen him on the cable news shows being interviewed by and debating with Bill O'Reilly and Michelle Malkin. And he's a guy who basically looks like the Burger King guy. He's got this little pointed red beard.
Mm-hmm.
He's a dual citizen. He was born in Texas, but he was on Vicente Fox's cabinet as a Mexican citizen.
Yes.
With his job being to protect the outreach efforts of the 24 million Mexican nationals living outside of Mexico. Remember, Mexico is only a country of 100 million people. And now and Hernandez, by the way, also was affiliated with, he should have been paid with, as a fellow with this Reform Institute. He was a full-time fellow on the staff of the Reform Institute. They have him on his website. They list him. Mm-hmm. Of course, I called up the Reform Institute, and they said Hernandez also is on a non-paid leave. I don't know who's paying Hernandez right now, but somebody must be. At any rate, he's been radically for open borders. What Hernandez says when he gets on these talk shows is Mexico first. In other words, down to the seventh generation, the Mexicans living in the United States should think Mexico first.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, he wrote a book, and the book was subtitled, why we are afraid of Mexicans, or what is it that we're afraid of Mexicans? And he's trying to present the whole argument that we're xenophobes to want legal immigration.
Mm-hmm.
Now, that's a radical position that Hernandez has taken. And for him to show up as McCain's outreach director to the Hispanic community really means two things. One, it belies McCain's position when he comes out and says, I'm for secure borders first. Now, first secure the borders. And we say, yeah, right, this is the, you know, Kennedy-McCain that we're looking at. He's not going to secure any borders first. And then the embassy, you know, the emissary he's sending out to talk to the Hispanic Community Forum is this Juan Hernandez. And, of course, the entire Hispanic community sees Juan Hernandez as, you know, a guy who's promoting their rights to be in the United States illegally. So
yes.
The message that McCain is sending out is, on one hand, to the Hispanic community, which is, I'm with you, and they're trying to say, I'll secure the borders first, so he wants the conservatives to say, no, I'm with you. And this is going to come back to haunt McCain, because this is the kind of mixed message that will not go down.
Ron Paul just really, I think, broadsided him well on that issue of the border. Because a lot of people have been made to believe Ron Paul is a libertarian with a capital L, open borders type, and really he's not.
He's not.
You know, his positions have been quite different from what people have tried to pin him with. And I think, again, his position is far more pro-borders, pro-sovereignty than all of them put together, including the rhetoric of McCain. Then we have Calderon, the leader of Mexico, coming to the United States recently, first time, right?
I think it's the second or third time.
Well, first time to visit the country and lobby, basically.
Yes, he's lobbying now.
Yeah, he's coming to the country telling us that we should be ashamed of ourselves for protecting our borders.
It's not a state visit. Look, he didn't come to the State Department. He didn't show up at the White House. He came and showed up at the Wall Street Journal.
Yep.
And he's going around giving speeches where he knows politically there's Hispanic communities, Mexican national communities that he can appeal to and tell them, I'm here to protect your rights as Mexican nationals to live in the United States. We've got 10% of Mexico's population living in the United States right now. It's going to be 20% of Mexico's population, one out of every five people born in Mexico by 2010, in 2 years. And we've got 47 Mexican consulate offices here in the United States to protect the rights of the Mexican nationals living here as Mexican citizen. So Calderon's right. We're a dual country, and he's here to visit his countrymen, his citizens living
in the
United States.
We have another summit coming up, don't we, here in the, is it the United States?
In April, it's going to be in New Orleans.
Right,
of course,
right.
President Bush, the State of the Union, called this one, it's really the fourth annual summit of the Security and Prosperity Partnership in North America.
Right, right.
I went to the third annual summit, which was up in Montebello, Quebec. And, you know, of course,
we had you on.
They could build steel fences around Montebello, but they can't build it on the border.
Oh, of course not.
Right.
That would be too important.
And in the State of the Union address, President Bush did not call this the fourth annual meeting of the Security and Prosperity Partnership. He renamed it. So this is the North American Leaders Summit.
Mm-hmm.
I guess we've made, just by criticizing SPP, we've made the whole idea of Security and Prosperity Partnership radioactive, such that President Bush wants to rename the whole event.
It's amazing. What incredible lies and deception. All right. We'll be back. We'll take calls in the next half hour. Dr. Jerry Corsi, my guest, the late, great USA, Rick Adams, Radio Avenger, 800-313-9443 is my number.
You're listening to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Because you can handle the truth.
Listening to RBN has helped you to prepare for an emergency and invest in the gold and silver markets, but now you'd like help managing your other investments. Would you prefer personalized investment advice? Onesti Investment Advisors can help. Onesti Investment Advisors will customize a portfolio with no conflicts of interest. Onesti Investment Advisors is a fee-based firm. We do no underwriting and receive no commission, so we always look after your interest. The better you do, the better we do. Get diversification by investing in stocks, bonds, mutual funds, ETFs, and more. Onesti Investment Advisors can help fund education, plan for retirement, lower your taxes, increase retirement income, and protect against a falling dollar. You've worked hard for your assets. Former floor trader and certified financial planner certificate, John Onesti, has the experience to help grow your investments. If you're looking to improve your investment results, call or email for a free consultation. Onesti Investment Advisors, 505-296-2453. That's 505-296-2453. Click on our banner ad on RBN or visit our website at onestiadvisors.com. Onesti Investment Advisors, looking after your investments.
Did you ever wonder how an opera singer that hits a high note is able to shatter a wine glass? Well, the glass has a natural resonant frequency. If the resonant frequency making the glass vibrate is powerful enough, the size of the vibration will become so large the glass shatters. Using this same principle, Royal Raymond Rife discovered that disease-causing organisms can be destroyed using different resonant frequencies. The BioSolutions Frequency Instrument uses the same technology for relief or elimination of pain and disease conditions with no side effects. The 2006 BioSolutions Plus is the easiest to operate frequency instrument ever developed. Its easy reference guide will allow you to begin using the instrument within minutes. Customer satisfaction is guaranteed or your money back. Don't just treat symptoms, eliminate the cause. For more information, call BioSolutions toll-free, 1-866-885-6625. That's 1-866-885-6625. Once again, 1-866-885-6625.
Are you concerned about cholesterol, blood pressure? Are you experiencing chest pain? Are you looking for a more natural method to help improve your health issues?
I had two mild heart attacks, and I had an 80 to 90% blockage in my artery. Don recommended I take this Cardivite. I haven't had any chest pain since I've been on it. It's brought my cholesterol down. My blood sugar was really fluctuating from 10 to 14 when I went on the Cardivite. You know, it really leveled it out. I'm really pleased, and I feel so good about it. I'll tell you, it's great for your circulation, because I've noticed that I've had problems with my feet because of the diabetes, and they're getting better. They don't hurt as much. It's really great. I recommend this to anybody.
To learn more, call 1-877-928-8822 or visit our website at heartdrop.com. That's HEARTDROP.com. Call 1-877-928-8822.
Haven't you got any respect for this town? I just lost it.
Indeed, indeed we have. We're back now with Jerry Corsi. Our number is 800-313-9443. And we will entertain a question, a comment. We're speaking primarily tonight about McCain and campaign around him and the heavies and what he's being put up for, whether this is all just another orchestrated show to get Hillary in or to get in Obama, we will certainly find out. And that's if we even have an election, in November. And if something doesn't happen that conveniently gives George Bush the power to maintain this regime in Washington, isn't that a possibility, Jerry?
Well, you can never rule it out, Rick. We've got, you know, these national security directives signed now that allow George Bush to declare an emergency and assume the powers of all levels of government down to the tribal level. It's not even clear he needs the approval of Congress to do so.
Now, you don't believe they exist, though, do you, Jerry? Come on.
What's
Newsweek
that?
Hasn't reported all of this.
Oh, right. We haven't found it in Newsweek, so it can't be true.
There you go. Let's take a call. Ernie in Virginia. Hello, Ernie. You're on the air with Jerry Corsi.
Oh, thank you, Rick. Hi, Dr. Corsi.
Hi, Ernie. How are you?
Good to speak to you again. And I have a question, although I personally believe that McCain is the pre-selected candidate to lose this election. And Mr. Obama, I'm not certain we'll be the winning candidate, because at the Istanbul meeting of the Bilderberg Organization in late May, early June, I remember reading about Hillary being the pre-select a candidate to win. But recently, in fact, yesterday, I read about the Global Poverty Act, Senate Bill 2433, mm-hmm. to go before the Senate Foreign Relations Committee. And this evening, I read on WorldNet Daily that it was approved, and the bill called, the bill is the type of legislation, yep. quote, we can and must make a priority, said Obama. And essentially what that bill will commit the U.S. to pay $65 billion a year in foreign aid over and above our existing foreign aid and impose a global tax, sort of like the U.N. Convention on the Law of the Sea. But my question to you, Jerry, is Mr. Obama a Che Guevara? Is Che Guevara his hero or is Lenin his hero? Because I've read somewhere else that there is a Che Guevara photograph in the Houston campaign office of Obama. Is he a Marxist? Where do you see Mr. Obama in his political philosophy?
Well, we published that in WorldNet Daily, too. We had the picture of the Che Guevara flag in the Obama office. So we validated that, and it was true. It's hard, you know, I think Obama's clearly far left. I mean, he's got the farthest left rating of any senator right now. What he truly is a mystery. I mean, Obama's a mystery guy. He's only been in the Senate 2 years. We don't know very much about him personally. You know, this whole background story of abandoned by his father and raised partly in Indonesia, raised as a Muslim attending a madrasa, you know, the radical Islamic school. It's hard to know exactly who Obama really is. And I think that's going to have to be an issue that if he is the candidate, we'll get fully vetted in the run-up to the general election.
Which will probably help ensure Hillary's election. Because
this is it, Ernie. With right now, you've got it such that they're both neck to neck. I mean, Obama's slightly ahead right now in the delegate count. And we don't know what's going to happen with these superdelegates because there's stories that they're getting money and that all kinds of speculation about them, but we don't know what they're going to do.
Well,
so in Ohio and Texas, I would say Hillary has a better chance in Ohio, and I think Obama's got a better chance in Texas.
Now, why do you say that, Jerry?
Well, Ohio's got a lot of older voters who, you know, are likely, and Hillary's constituency is the older voters. And I think unless the youth in Ohio get out and really back Obama in the primary, which they could well do, and Ohio's got a fairly substantial African-American voter block as well,
mm-hmm. yep.
you know, various cities, but right at the profile of Ohio is an aging state would have the kind of voter that Hillary's attracting.
Wouldn't you include Pennsylvania also?
Pennsylvania is again a different profile. I'm not sure. I've been looking mostly now at just Ohio and Texas because I think these are the two that are going to be. Hillary's got to win them both, and she's got to win them both decisively. Otherwise, Obama's going to pick up as well a lot of delegates, and Hillary's not going to have the kind of blow to Obama that she needs to have. So these two races coming up are going to be very important in determining who's going to get the Democratic nomination. I also count a lot for the momentum here. I think that Obama is picking up not only on the national level, which we see in the polls, but I think he's making inroads in the state levels as well, which are not yet fully reflected in the polls. We've got some time yet to go on both of them. But my instincts are that Obama's going to do better than most people think he will and could win Texas, if not both.
Yeah, but Jerry, don't you think with the economy and the problems we're having on the economic side in the country, combine that with this ill-conceived bill today to commit to 0.7% of gross national product, to poverty and support imposition of a global tax or support of the UN. Don't you think that at some point there's going to be media discussion about this? Because this is irresponsible, this kind of legislation at this point in time.
Well, Ernie, I think there's an awful lot of the young people who back Obama who, first of all, have been brought up their whole educational system, you know, this leftist educational system, believing the UN is good, and any redistribution of wealth we can do from the United States to the rest of the world in poverty is, you know, socially desirable. I mean, they've been trained, you know, Howard Zinn is, you know, the radical, the really communist historian is the history these kids have largely been taught even in college. So they're not taught the Founding Fathers anymore. And what I see happening in the Democratic Party is, you know, a watershed change. When Ted Kennedy came out and supported Obama, that's the patriarch of the Democratic Party. And I think Kennedy was sending a message across to the Clintons that their day is over.
Right, but lastly, because I know, Rick, you're going to have other callers,
no,
I have
okay.
one last
yeah.
question.
Sure.
Dr. Corsi, are you a candidate for the Constitutional Party?
Yeah.
The Constitutional Party keeps asking me, Ernie, and I'm a writer. I'm going to continue writing. I don't think I'll run for any office.
Okay.
I certainly have no plans now to. Now, what I think is underway, and I'm hoping that Ron Paul will be receptive, is I'm sure the Constitution Party would be very open to Ron Paul running as a Constitution Party candidate for president. If that came to be, I think the Constitution Party would benefit tremendously, and Ron Paul would be an outstanding candidate, might even be a force in the election.
Especially
and that would
Bloomberg.
Not adversely affect his running for Congress once again.
Well, that's again what Ron Paul is concerned with.
He's concerned with his primary coming up.
The primary. If he gets through the primary
mm-hmm.
And is able to, you know, win the primary for
right.
his House seat in Texas, then I think the way is cleared for him to say, okay, now I will go with the Constitution Party.
Right.
It's still, he's still saying he won't do that. But, you know, it's not time yet for the question to really be asked in a way
yeah.
where he could
I
respond
understand that. Sure.
until after the primary.
Well,
all right, Ernie, thank you for the call.
Thank you, Rick.
You know what I want to bring up now? This is very important to me, and that is the hand-selected candidates for President of the United States. This is the first time that we've had someone with so much potential as Ron Paul in the so-called mainstream Republican Party come out and garner the support he has because of the alternative media, the true media, the Internet. And yet we go back in just a few decades, and I remember this well myself, Jerry, when Jimmy Carter was running. You remember what he said on the campaign trail?
Well,
remember? There were two things. First of all, you know, he was picked from obscurity by Newsweek
oh, yes,
and Time, like Obama, and put up there as a, quote, respectable peanut farmer from
and
Georgia.
The liberal, and the liberals in New York City had a big impact in selecting him, too. I remember
oh,
that
absolutely.
Well.
But this is his verbatim words on the campaign trail. And he said that if you see a Cyrus Vance in my administration and a Zbigniew Brzezinski, you will know that I have failed the American public. And, of course, those were two people
of
that
course.
He appointed. Now, this is the proof of the extent of control which these organizations, you know, the Trilats and the CFR, have had, really, since Woodrow Wilson's
time. Well,
there's
no question about it. I mean, Ron Paul has gotten $20 million on the Internet.
More than that now, yeah. $21
million. $21 million, and...
Yep.
Ron Paul's ability to launch a third-party campaign, I think, is unprecedented right now for someone who's not independently, you know, wealthy, a multimillionaire, a billionaire like
mm-hmm.
Bloomberg is.
Wow.
And Ron Paul is not going to give in. I mean, I've met Ron Paul. Ron Paul asked me for an autographed copy of my book, The Late Great USA. I was very honored the last time I interviewed him in person.
Mm-hmm.
And, the whole issue with Ron Paul is he's not going to compromise his principles, and he's not going to repackage what he wants to say to make it more acceptable. He's also not going to be bought or owned or controlled by the globalists. All the candidates, we get into this big debate about whether it's going to be Hillary or Obama. When the final analysis, it doesn't make any difference.
None at all.
They're the same.
None at all.
Or whether it's going to be then Obama or McCain. We're going to spend hours and months, you know, arguing about this issue when it's a false issue. Because you've got McCain funded by Soros. You've got McCain, who's been a Council on Foreign Relations member for as long as I can remember. He's within the Council on Foreign Relations hierarchy.
Yep, yep.
And so it's hard to conceptualize, you know, that anybody except Ron Paul is distinct in this group.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, that's what I think is becoming apparent to the American people. The American people are beginning to understand this. The largest growing voter identification in the United States is independent.
Right, right.
And that's where Lou Dobbs is correct.
Yeah.
Independents are, because neither party is appealing to the needs of the American people.
In fact, they're trying to draft, Lou Dobbs to run for president as well.
Well, I think, again, Lou Dobbs, like me, is a, you know, he's a journalist. He's an intelligent journalist.
Yeah,
I'm a writer. I'm a reporter in that regard. But it's flattering to be asked. I'm sure Lou Dobbs feels the same. But Ron Paul has a long and successful career as a politician, and he's got a unique appeal, and he's the only one that stands alone from this group.
Well, I mean, the one time that I recall Tim Russert having him on the show, and Russert was throwing everything at him, including the kitchen sink, I just marveled at the way Ron Paul matter-of-factly threw up his hand, and he says, oh, come on. You can't be serious, Tim. Where do you get that from? Come on, now, give me the exact quote. He, like, threw it right back, innocently enough, right back in Tim Russert's face, and Russert began to blush and went on to the next volley, you know. It was just so, so good. It was so vintage, Ron Paul.
This last debate that they had at the Reagan Library,
I thought
was completely shameful. I mean, they gave zero time to either Huckabee or to Ron Paul.
Mm-hmm.
All the questions were aimed at
fair and balanced, yes.
You know, fair and balanced. They were all aimed at McCain and Romney.
Yep.
And the media wanted to say, look, this is a two-person race.
Mm-hmm.
Now they've gotten Romney out, so they want to say it's a one-person deal.
Right.
And, you know, they're pressuring Huckabee every day, trying to ridicule Huckabee because he's going to give a speech in the Cayman Islands for a couple of days.
Yeah.
I mean, who cares?
I have a question from a caller, John, in California, who wants to know about Mitt Romney, by the way. Didn't want to go on. He asks, why does Dr. Corsi believe that Mitt Romney pulled out of the race after spending $40 million of his own money? Who was he bought off?
I think there was pressure from within the Republican Party. I'm sure there was. I wrote about this in WorldNet Daily. The orchestration of the effort for McCain was coordinated by Charlie Black, who is one of the top Republican insider lobbyists in Washington.
Mm-hmm.
And Black was circulating before CPAC, before last weekend, the conservative
Political Action Committee
meeting, that the mathematics dictated that only McCain could win. And that was the theme I was hearing.
But that didn't make a lot of sense because you know and I know that the way Romney was, orchestrating and campaigning, it was far from over after Super Tuesday.
But when they came with that theme to Romney, that was signaling. What that signaled was not that it was true, but that the pressure was coming on.
Right.
And that they wanted to be this the reason. Where Romney bowed out and the conservatives could say this is the reason he did it. Now, whether that's the real reason or not, I doubt very much.
Well,
there had to be some kind of a
you don't just go and spend all that money, your own money, and just say, hey, I think I want to get out of the race.
I have no idea why he did it. I can't prove one way or the
other. Well, we don't know truthfully, but speculation is that a deal was made for him to be in that administration.
Something had to, or that he was going to be the next time favored or whatever. But there was definitely pressure and behind-the-scenes dealings to get Romney to drop out.
I was surprised he did.
I was very surprised he did.
Yes.
Because like Huckabee, he could have just said, look, I've spent all this money. I'll just ride it to the end.
Right. Let's take a quick call from Bill in Idaho right now. Hello, Bill. You're on the program with Dr. Corsi.
Yes, thank you so very much. I just wanted to check with Dr. Corsi, considering the mind control that's occurring via NPR any more than the Foxes and BBCs. Is that you or me? Hello?
Yes, mm-hmm. I'm right here.
Yeah.
Considering the mind control that is occurring presently at all levels and mm-hmm. the corruption of the voting machines, I was wondering if there's any way within the discussion that you're directly talking about here with these candidates, that individually the sources of this information can be verified as being CFR affiliated, so that the students in the college campuses can be directly linked by their forum boards and that, and warned in regard to these kind of issues.
Jerry?
Well, you know, first of all, the kind of evidence you've got is you can compare what the CFR is saying and show the membership and how it is almost identical to what these candidates are saying. To go to the college campuses and convince the kids of this, the kids are also being indoctrinated by teachers who have bought the CFR line, hook, line, and sinker.
Okay.
So I think Ron Paul has a fresh look at it, and it's going to take a Ron Paul to capture the imagination of the students to get them to open their eyes to the truth.
Hey, thanks for your question, Bill. Can you spend the last 5 minutes with us, Jerry?
Yes, certainly.
Okay, we'll be back, and we'll take another call or two. Rick Adams, Radio Avenger, with Dr. Corsi, right here on Republic Broadcasting Network.
The ideology powering the Democrats and Republicans is not liberalism or conservatism, but globalism. Globalists are concerned with what's good for big business and the American empire instead of what's fair for the American people. The only antidote to the poison of globalism is nationalism. Start reading the Nationalist Times each month. The Nationalist Times promotes a common sense, intelligent, and passionate alternative to the reigning party line. Published monthly since 1985, the Nationalist Times is a 20-page newspaper featuring outstanding writers and columnists who don't believe in taboos or sacred cows. Be one of the many thousands of loyal readers of the Nationalist Times. Subscribe now to the Nationalist Times. Just $19 for 1 year. That's 50% off the regular price. Send your $19 subscription to the Nationalist Times, P.O. Box 426, Allison Park, PA 15101. That's the Nationalist Times, P.O. Box 426, Allison Park, PA 15101. Or subscribe online at our website, www.anu.org.
If your body isn't feeling too well these days, you're going to start taking this hemp, I say. Go to hempusa.org. You may not like what I'm about to say, but you know I'm going to say it anyway. The government doesn't want the best for you. They keep you down, they keep you blue. They starve your body for all its nutrients. They won't let you grow industrial hemp. It really doesn't make any kind of sense when it's so healthy for the world and useful for you, my friends. I hope Mr. Bush will hear this song, for the heart of America wants this one. Go to hempusa.org. If you're a truther, an anarchist, or renegade, you only want things that God has made, go to hempusa.org. We offer free shipping anywhere in the States. Go to hempusa.org.
Are you new to freeze-drying foods? These fine, easily storable foods were first developed for the U.S. space program. Today, the U.S. military and the U.S. submarine service enjoy using these products extensively. Freeze-dried foods typically maintain their high nutritional value in excess of 30 years. Why store emergency food? Keeping food on hand for emergencies protects you the same way as does insurance on your home or car. With Freeze Dry Guy freeze-dried foods in your food reserve, you can be ready for just about any unexpected crisis. In today's turbulent times of uncertainty, global crisis, world market collapse, stock market volatility, increased frequency of natural and man-made disasters, there has never been a better time to get a survival insurance policy. Take the necessary steps to protect your family in these uncertain times. Visit freezedryguy.com or call 866-404-FOOD, 866-404-3663. We pay the freight within the lower 48 states.
The first step in winning the war? Spreading the word. Tell your friends Rick Adams is on RBNLive.com.
I forgive you, man. All right, hey, have you been wanting solar power at your home? Finally, there is an affordable solar. Take back your power, produce your own energy, and keep the savings. no rate increase, no equipment to purchase, no installation costs, no maintenance fees, no permit hassles, and no performance worries. Visit jointhesolution.com/solar-man or call 866-276-3975. And we don't have much time, but I'm going to squeeze in Henry in Connecticut here for Dr. Corsi. Yes, Henry, got a question.
Dr. Corsi, there was a bill, I think the Congress or the Senate tried to pass that put a restraint on torture, and I think George Bush was saying that it would restrain the CIA or something. But see, all this stuff is for the American people. See, we can have the borders wide open, let any third-world filth come in here and bowel movement and take people's jobs and bowel movement all along Texas and the border of California and spread all kinds of disease and mumps and everything else to even white children in school and everything else, and not even children, even younger adults.
Oh, so you're asking, Henry, about the specific bill. Now, you're talking about the FISA bill?
Yeah.
Are you talking about the torture?
Yeah, all those guys up there, they're just crazy, all of them. Bush, the Congress, but he openly, almost blatantly, said that he's going to, you know, that he needs torture in a way. I mean, and say that he's going
well,
to.
Well, Dick Cheney just said it. He said that, hey, it's done some good. Look at the confessions we can get from it, you know? All right, so, yeah. Jerry, any response
to
him?
Well, you know, I think what the caller is pointing out to is clearly with wide open borders.
That's
the key. It's hard to believe that, you know, the war on terror itself is true. I mean, you say,
it's
wait
not.
A minute.
It's fake.
You
well,
say,
we know
look,
that. We know that.
And we say, how can we. We're 7 years into a war on terror, and we don't have secure borders. It makes no sense at all.
Well, I'm with Henry when he says it's for us. So let's face
it.
It
is.
Directive
it is.
51 and all of the others are for controlling us, the American people, when we get too rowdy, I think.
Well, right, but let any third-world filth come flooding in here, left and right, take everybody's jobs, and look how wonderful they work. I mean, it's so stupid. All right, you
well,
move
it's
on. Take
the
it on
idea
call.
That they're coming here to do harm and illegally, whether they're coming here for the right reasons or the wrong. They're still illegally coming to the United States,
and,
breaking the laws.
And I think the other frustration that I hear, and I hear it all the time, but I share it myself, is that the this globalism, sending jobs to China, sending jobs to India, inviting an underclass into the United States to compete for the lower-paying jobs, is a direct assault on the American middle class. And it's an intentional assault on the American middle class.
Right.
The, you know, the globalist agenda is an agenda by the leaders of the multinational corporations, the elite, that think they're going to remain the elite and increase their billions at the expense of everybody else. I think
hey, Jerry, that's
American
a good
people
point.
Have had an end to this.
Let me ask you one final question. We're pressed for time, though.
Right.
What's your feeling about Ron Paul's his video in which he's calling for a march on Washington before the convention?
It's a good idea, and I think Ron Paul has a point. I'm just hoping that Ron Paul will think practically and continue to be a force. Constitution Party, I believe, would openly receive him.
Yep.
And I'd like to see a challenge right now. I mean, now that we've got McCain and either Obama or Hillary, I can't tell the difference between the three of them.
Okay, so you approve, huh?
Yes.
All right. Provided it's done and people show up and
right. Provided it's a realistic plan
and a true revolution, as the gentleman from, and I use that term loosely, from Newsweek has said. Yes.
Well,
no,
yes.
No.
I mean, I think we've got to have a change of the political system is what I want.
You bet. Hey, Jerry, it's a pleasure having you back. Thank you, and we'll do it again when we have a chance.
Thanks for
a
great
Thank
to be
you.
With
Good
you.
Night, Jerry Corsi.
Good night.
And ladies and gentlemen, tomorrow night back again, Lord willing. Join me then, Rick Adams, and our special guest, Don Wiskin, with Cartify. Good night, everyone.